Hey, everybody. John Kerry is doing something with the Iranians that is undermining American foreign policy. Also, Bill Maher speaks out against the woke industrial complex. That and so much more. If you want to email us your thoughts, do so at freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to support our program, go to charliekirk.com/support. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
John Kerry is someone that has been in American politics longer than I have been alive. John Kerry is someone that has been in a lot of different positions in life. John Kerry used to visit college campuses in the Vietnam War, arguing for draft dodging and even burning draft cards he was associating himself with. John Kerry married a very rich woman from the Heinz fortune. That's right. Every time you take some Heinz ketchup, you are funding John Kerry's empire. John Kerry then became a senator for Massachusetts. After that, John Kerry was a very, I don't want to say he's popular. He was well known. He ran for president then in 2004 against George W. Bush unsuccessfully. John Kerry was then tapped to be Secretary of State after Hillary Clinton stepped down under Barack Obama. And then John Kerry, who famously authored the Iran deal, is now the climate czar for Joe Biden. John Kerry also has a difficulty riding a bike. It's not his strongest skill. In fact, I want to get that Trump tape on John Kerry because it's just Donald Trump at his best, unscripted, straight to the point, and living rent-free in John Kerry's head. So there's a new story out about John Kerry saying that John Kerry continued to stay in touch with Iran, the theocratic dictatorship of Iran, to undermine Israel and their sovereignty. So there's been a lot of reaction from this. But let's first go to cut 44 of John Kerry on Middle East policy. Let's just get some more context here. This is, if this story came out with anyone in the Trump administration, they would have resigned by now and there'd be indictments by next week. They ruined Lieutenant General Michael Flynn's life for merely having a meeting with the Russian ambassador, and Peter Strzok Smirk marched into the White House days after the new administration and entrapped like a predator, a hero to our country. Play tape.
Kerry is also concerned about the Middle East, where he spent 9 months trying to secure peace between the Israelis and Palestinians. He said the president-elect's campaign pledge to move the U.S. embassy to the disputed city of Jerusalem would inflame the Arab world.
You'd have an explosion, an absolute explosion in the region.
Neighboring.
There will be no separate peace between Israel and the Arab world. I want to make that very clear to all of you.
So there's some context there. And so these clips are not in English, so we can't play them for you. I think they're in Farsi. I'm right with Farsi. So the reaction, Ted Cruz's reaction, cut 46. So here's what's happened. Okay, John Kerry basically continued to play international diplomat, undermining U.S. foreign policy and Israel foreign policy with Iran. Now, before I play cut 46, there is a bizarre, inexplicable fascination that the American Democrat Party has with Iran. Iran is ruled and governed by tyrants. Now, I, unlike most Republicans and conservatives, will tell you the Iranian story correctly. It's largely our fault that Iran is in the state that they're in. I'm not going to do the saber-rattling John Bolton thing where I'm like, oh, we did the right thing. No, no, no. The agency involved with the British intelligence overthrew a democratically elected leader in Iran. And we installed the Shah. Reinstalled a sickly man who was unpopular. Which then led the way for what is known, I think, as the White Revolution, which was the Ayatollah Khamenei and many others who brought in Islamic fundamentalism. However, as I acknowledge that America made a mistake in that, that does not all of a sudden mean that we should pander to the current tyrants and dictators that run Iran that hate our values, want to wipe us off the face of the earth, and wipe Israel off the face of the earth. Here's what Ted Cruz has to say.
Look, he's absolutely right. These allegations are deeply concerning. Iran's foreign minister, Zarif, on tape, alleges that Kerry told him that Israel had carried out over 200 military strikes on Iranian forces in Syria. If that's true, it is utterly disqualifying. If that is true, it is criminal. It is disclosing serious, sensitive, classified information about one of America's closest allies, the nation of Israel, to a virulently dangerous enemy of America and enemy of Israel. Now,
so John Kerry denies these allegations, but he was spreading and sharing classified information with the Iranian foreign minister. Now, I'm not a big fan of Iranian leaders as is. There's something so sneaky and snarky and awful about that Zarif guy, that Iranian foreign minister. He is always taunting Americans. He's always saying that our country is so structurally racist and unequal. Meanwhile, they throw homosexuals off the top of ceilings, roofs, I should say. That's what they, you know, let's get the clip, actually, of Ahmadinejad. Ahmadinejad, he used to be kind of the PR spokesperson for the Iranian regime. Then they realized the more that Ahmadinejad was talking, the less the West actually wanted to embrace Iran. Ahmadinejad was famously asked, hey, how do you treat gay people in Iran?
We do not have gay people in Iran.
It's true. We'll get the clip of it. He said it to Western media. We have a tape of Trump here. Okay. This was Donald Trump on John Kerry and struggling to ride a bike. Just a little bit of fun, everybody. Let's have a little lighthearted moment. Play tape.
The negotiation. He never got up. They would tell him, we want this, we want this, we want this. And he'd sit there and he'd agree to everything. Sometimes you have to get up and walk. He never got up and walked. Once he rode his bicycle, remember it, he was in an accident. I promised at 73 years old, I said, I'll never be riding a bicycle. He had the helmet, he had the names, the insignias all over. He had insignias like, you know, like he was a 20-year-old great cyclist from France. So that delayed him about 2 months. They said he just got hurt in a bicycle accident. What? It's not a good accident when you're... So I promised I wouldn't do that. I might get hurt, but I'm not getting hurt riding a bicycle. I think. But if you look at the Obama administration, ISIS was rampant.
I miss that, man. It's a very serious issue with John Kerry. We're going to dive deeper into it and the specifics of it. There's a T word that should be thrown around right now. Look, for many of you that watch our live stream or our radio show, listen to our radio show, you know I talk about Relief Factor a lot. And look, truth is, I know millions of people are in some kind of pain, maybe from exercise or just getting older, that can do it. That's why I'm so impressed with Pete and Seth Talbot. They are on a mission. You rarely seen this kind of focus and commitment. Seriously, they recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their number of total happy customers in the next year, and I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back, neck, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, or even general muscle aches and pain, then I'm suggesting you order their three-week quick start, still discounted, only $19.95, about a dollar a day to see if we can get you out of pain. So go to ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com. The Talbots are amazing people. Check it out, ReliefFactor.com. Donald Trump predicted this. I think it's cut 53.
What I'd like to see with Iran... I'd like to see them call me. You know, John Kerry speaks to them a lot. John Kerry tells them not to call. That's a violation of the Logan Act. And frankly, he should be prosecuted on that. But my people don't want to do anything that's – only the Democrats do that kind of stuff, you know? Yes. If it were the opposite way, they'd prosecute him under the Logan Act. But John Kerry violated the Logan Act. He's talking
– violated the Logan Act. He's right. He's talking against the will of the U.S. government, undermining foreign policy for what? So here's a question. Why is the Democrat Party so enamored with Iran? What is it about Iran that they are obsessed about? There's a lot of countries in the world. Iran is not the wealthiest country. They're not even a wealthy country. In some ways, they're a third world country. They have oil reserves, but so does Russia. What is it about Iran that gives the Democrats and John Kerry such a power trip? What is it about the former Persian Empire that they're obsessed about? Well, the short answer is they have a lot in common with the Iranians. They both hate America. And so they work cooperatively to destroy the West and to destroy conservatives and to destroy the country. They found an ally. And Iran wants revenge for what America and British intelligence did many years ago. But without that sort of interference from us, they never would have actually been dominating Iran from an Islamic fundamentalist standpoint. So here's how – this is the type of people we're dealing with. Cut 55, Ahmadinejad says, we have no homosexuals in Iran. This is him giving a speech, I believe, at Columbia University, if I'm not mistaken. Play cut 55.
In Iran, we don't have homosexuals like in your country. We don't have that in our country.
In Iran,
we do not have this phenomenon. I don't know who's told you that we have it.
John Kerry's best friend. That's who the Democrats are obsessed with. Again, it's not about values. It's not about worldview. They simply have found partners in the deconstruction of the West. And Iran is happy to play along. Also, the Democrats have always wanted to push back against Israel's sovereignty. And Iran, they are experts at that. Let's go to cut 49. Is it still loading? John Kerry at the Sabin Forum on Middle East policy, the Sabin Forum. Cut 49.
I've heard several prominent politicians in Israel sometimes saying, well, the Arab world's in a different place now. We just have to reach out to them and we can work some things with the Arab world and we'll deal with the Palestinians. No, 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 and no. I can tell you that reaffirmed even in the last week as I have talked to leaders of the Arab community. There will be no advance and separate peace with the Arab world without the Palestinian process and Palestinian peace. Everybody needs to understand that. That is a hard reality.
Of course, he was terribly wrong. The Abraham Accords were signed between the UAE. This was before Trump. Between UAE, Israel, Bahrain, Sudan. Historic peace in the Middle East brokered against John Kerry's predictions and his wishes. Well, maybe it's actually not John Kerry's goal to have peace. Maybe John Kerry wants a partnership. Maybe John Kerry has been working for quite some time to release the Iranian economic might against the West. If Iran gets a nuclear weapon, all of a sudden, the entire geopolitical landscape changes. Now, I am not someone who wants to just clamor for the drums of war against Iran. I think that would be a huge mistake. At the same time, undermining the peace process, which the goal should be peace in foreign policy, obviously, and we get peace through strength, as Ronald Reagan said, and Benjamin Franklin said it before him differently, should be the goal. Will John Kerry be investigated? Probably not. Will John Kerry be called to testify? Only if Republicans take back the House. Do you know how much you need to save to have a comfortable retirement? The average retirement savings for families, according to one recent study, is $255,000. If you are using these averages as goals for your own retirement, let me be blunt. Even $1 million won't be enough by the time you retire because of inflation. Retirement is not one size fits all. How much should you save depends on what kind of lifestyle you want to pursue after retirement. But remember that inflation should be factored in. The $1 million you saved 40 years ago is worth less than half of that now. So invest in assets that will store the value of your investment. That's key to diversifying your portfolio. And there's nothing better than gold. I'm a believer in gold. Did you know that if you invested $1 million in gold 40 years ago, you'd be sitting on over $50 million today? So think about it. If you put $1,000 in gold today, how much will that be worth when you have grandkids? That could afford any lifestyle you want. I know you've got questions, and Noble Gold is a trustworthy resource for answers. Contact a Noble Gold representative to learn more about making your saving a priority. If you didn't start early, that's okay. There's no time like today to get started and make sound financial decisions. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and call one of their experts, NobleGoldInvestments.com. How do we actually take back the country politically? Well, something a lot of us are focusing on is taking back the House of Representatives. That should be a primary focus. The most moderate projections showed that Republicans were supposed to lose seats this last election cycle back in November. Now, we see that the Democrats have a 5-seat majority. Is that right? 5-seat, 6-seat? 6-seat. It is one of the thinnest majorities in American House of Representatives history. And Nancy Pelosi, she's going out just, it is her battle of the bulge. Let's put it that way. Every artillery shell, every single mortar, you name it, she is going to fire it. She doesn't care. DC is a new state, HR 1, HR 5. She's like, if I'm going to go down, I'm going to go down with the most radical Congress in American history. I don't care about governing the middle. I don't care about committees. I don't care about bill markups. Let it fly. And so how do we actually start to get questions of why is John Kerry running our climate policy? Who's actually working for Joe Biden? How do we take back these committees so we can have transparency on the executive branch? You take back the House. So yesterday was some really big news. Some really big news because the census data got released. The census is constitutionally required. Every 10 years, there's a census that's done, and we just kind of take a tabulation of who's in our country and not. Now, the big controversy that shouldn't have been a controversy, by the way, did you know that the U.S. Chamber of, not the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, the U.S., the Department of Commerce, not the Chamber of Commerce, the Department of Commerce does the census. Wilbur Ross executed the census. Now, we never should have counted illegals in our census. I want you to think about this. We counted foreign nationals illegally harbored in our country in our census data. So this is where we redraw our maps every 10 years. So every 10 years, your congressman or congresswoman could change. And the way that we actually appropriate representation in Congress changes based on population. Again, this is constitutionally required. And the big takeaway, and I'm going to get into the specifics, first and foremost, was that almost every single state came in less than even the most moderate projections. So, for example, Florida, some were saying that, oh, Florida's going to get at least 2 seats, if not 3, possibly 4 seats. Florida's getting 1 new seat. Colorado is getting 1 new seat. California lost a seat. Oregon is getting 1 new seat, which is hard to believe that Oregon gained population. Montana is getting 1 new seat. Illinois is losing a seat. Michigan is losing a seat. Ohio is losing a seat. West Virginia is losing a seat. Pennsylvania is losing a seat. And New York is losing a seat. Now, what is West Virginia, Pennsylvania, Ohio, and Michigan all have in common? Those 4 seats, those 4 states that are losing a seat. Trump won them surprisingly and historically. Maybe there's something to this idea of losing population in the industrial Midwest and wanting someone who's going to reinvigorate it. Do you hear what I'm saying, Republicans? North Carolina gaining a seat because New Yorkers have decided to go bring their metropolitan values down to Asheville and Raleigh. And Texas is the big winner, 2 new seats. So what does this mean for taking back the House? Let's start with Montana. The governor of Montana is Greg Gianforte. The House in Montana and the Senate is Republican. So the new map in Montana, they're probably just going to cut the state right down in half is what they're going to do. Billings is in the east. Kalispell's in the northwest. Missoula's more in the west. They're probably going to cut it right down the center of Bozeman is what they're going to do. And it'll probably be two Republican seats, likely. Texas, the House is Republican, the Senate's Republican, the governor's Republican. Now, let me be clear. Just because they're Republican does not mean you get good maps, and that does not mean you get Republican maps, okay? In fact, it's illegal to do that. What it does mean, though, is you're not going to get Illinois-style maps like in the Illinois 14th Congressional District. If you guys want to go see the goofiest congressional district in the country, go look at Illinois' 5th Congressional District, I think is Mike Quigley, and go look at Illinois' 14th Congressional District. Illinois' 14th Congressional District is a barbell. It literally goes from the border of Wisconsin all the way down to nearly DeKalb, all the way down to Joliet. It does a handlebar. Do you see that, Connor? Are you looking at it? It's literally like a C. We could put it on the live stream. That's what happens when Democrats draw districts. So here's what happens when Democrats draw districts. And Republicans play this game too. I have to be honest. Republicans gerrymander a lot. And quite honestly, if Democrats are going to do it, we let the courts decide. And North Carolina actually got rulings that they had to redraw their maps because they were too partisan. And look, I'm actually a fan of fair redistricting. I'm actually somewhat of a centrist on this. However, I leave it up to the states so that they can govern themselves the best. So anyway, Illinois has a Democrat House, Democrat Senate, and J.B. Pritzker is governor. And so we're going to get awful maps out of Illinois. This is Illinois' 14th congressional district. What do those people have in common with each other? Except that they live in the same 100-mile radius. You literally have people down in Plainfield, Illinois, in the same congressional district as Zion. If you know anything about Illinois, a little bit different. Now, you're going to get this when you have politicians drawing maps. So, but when you have the new census data, every state by law redraws their maps. So Arizona was supposed to gain a seat. It didn't. The Democrats are absolutely losing their mind in Arizona because they wanted an extra seat because they wanted a Democrat seat. So here's what happens. If you were to game the process, which again, I'm actually more in the camp of fair redistricting. Let me be very clear. However, Democrats game the process every time. Here's what you do. In Illinois, they did this. They say, okay, what's the most conservative part of Illinois, which is Illinois' 16th congressional district, which is currently represented by Adam Kinzinger, right? Adam Kinzinger, who's got to go. Whoever's primarying Adam Kinzinger, you have my full support. But they'll go find the most conservative part, and they'll make it a R, Republican plus 30 district. Like so, they'll put all the conservatives in one district. Now, why would they do that? You'd say, well, doesn't that help Republicans? No. They give away one seat to go win five more. So they'll make one seat super Republican, and they'll go make the next five seats slightly Democrat. You see how that works? And so they'll make the other ones like D plus 5, D plus 4, D plus 3, D plus 6, and then the other one R plus 30. So basically they'll say, okay, Republicans, you get one seat. We're going to go win all the other collar county seats in Illinois. We're going to go win the 6th congressional, which used to be a winnable seat. We're going to go win they won the 14th. You look at that. You know, see how rural that district is in Illinois? Lauren Underwood won that against Jim Oberweis and formerly Randy Holcren. That's a very winnable seat. I grew up around those folks. Or how about Illinois' 8th congressional district, which used to be very winnable and not so much anymore. Anyway, I'm using Illinois as a test case. I happen to know that. So here's how I know it. I got my start in politics working on behalf of these maps. That's why I know these maps so well. I got my start in politics when I was a sophomore in high school, literally in rooms when we were advocating and arguing for fair maps and fair redistricting in Illinois. So we lost the Illinois governor's race in 2010. It was Bill Brady who lost a very winnable race against Pat Quinn. And then we got bad maps as a result of that. So we look at this. Oregon, you're going to get terrible maps. Kate Brown is the worst. Montana, you're going to get really good maps. Colorado, bad maps. But I think Colorado has some precedent or decision where they have to have some sort of fairness there. Texas, you're going to get good maps. Florida, you're going to get great maps. North Carolina, you're not going to get great maps. Democrat governor. Ohio, you'll get good maps. West Virginia, you're going to get good maps. They lost population. Pennsylvania, you're going to get awful maps. Now, New York lost population. This is the most controversial one. Being close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades. Cut 52. New York lost a seat because they were 89 people short. Play cut 52.
One of the mayoral candidates, Sean Donovan, has laid the blame at your feet, suggesting that while you were distracted running for president, that could have been time better spent drumming up support for the census. Do you acknowledge that perhaps you could have done more on that front? And if not, what should have been done to get those 89 people?
Yeah, Andrew, that's preposterous, honestly. I think someone should get a calendar over to Sean Donovan. The census took place in 2020, long after I was doing anything on the national level.
That's right. He was a failed candidate well before that. This is a huge controversy in New York, though. Now, just so we're clear, if you heard that the way I heard that, you're like, wait a second, drummed up more support and you like found more people? Well, just so you know, the census is a guess. It's not everyone participates. Remember, they run ads, fill out your stuff. It's the right thing to do as a citizen, but a lot of people don't. But look, they get it pretty well. I have to say, I read a long article when I used to be involved in this stuff in Illinois with some great Americans. And there was an article that says how the census people get it right. And they've had their work double checked. Now, we shouldn't count illegals, but they check everything from utility bills to housing rates. So they get it pretty close. However, if 89 other people would have filled out their census forms, it very well might have put New York over the top. I'm delighted that New York decided to care more about burning down their own city than filling out census forms. I'm delighted that New York City decided to go throw Molotov cocktails. I'm being sarcastic, obviously, media matters, than filling out census forms. New York, you guys have such an arrogant, pompous attitude lately. You really do. I'm talking about not the people of New York. I'm talking about de Blasio and Cuomo and AOC and Schumer. The bottom of the barrel. So I have to be lectured by you guys. Oh, we deserve 89 people. You know what? You've had different priorities. And you reap what you sow.
So have you ever browsed in incognito mode? It's probably not as incognito as you think. And why would it be? Incognito mode, like the Chrome browser itself, is a Google product. And Google has made its fortune by tracking your movements online. There's even a $5 billion class action lawsuit against the company in California, where it's accused of secretly collecting user data. Google's defense, incognito does not mean invisible. So how do you actually make yourself as invisible as possible online? ExpressVPN. Turns out that even in incognito mode, your online activity still gets tracked. And data brokers still get to buy and sell your data. One of these data points is in your IP address. Data harvesters use your IP to uniquely identify you and your location, but with ExpressVPN, your connection gets rerouted through an encrypted server and your IP address is masked. Every time you connect to ExpressVPN, you get a random IP address shared by other ExpressVPN customers that makes it harder for third parties to identify you or harvest your data. Best of all, ExpressVPN is super easy to use no matter what device you're on, phone, laptop, or smart TV. All you have to do is tap one button for instant protection. So if you really want to go incognito and protect your privacy, secure yourself with the number one rated VPN. Visit ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. That's ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie.
There are four types of people when it comes to this wokeness nonsense in our country. There's the radical left that believes it. There are more mainstream Democrats like Bill Maher that are sick of it, but they haven't spoke out against it because either they're afraid to speak out against it or they see it as a helpful tool to get more political power. I'm talking about people like Chuck Schumer, who doesn't actually believe this stuff. He just cares about power. Then there's moderate Republicans who are terrified of this, but they are horrified at speaking out. They don't know how to speak it out. Then there's people like us, the base grassroots conservatives that know that we are in the midst of a cultural struggle for our country. And then so what you have is the woke people arguing with the base conservatives and the rest of the country just kind of sits idly by and hope it stops while they're taking terrain every single day. Well, Bill Maher had a pretty epic monologue when it came to this. Play tape.
36% of millennials think it might be a good idea to try communism. But much of the world did try it. I know millennials think that doesn't count because they weren't alive when it happened. But it did happen. And there are people around who remember it. So when you say you're old, you don't get it. Get what? Abolish the police and the border patrol and capitalism and cancel Lincoln? No, I get it. The problem isn't that I don't get what you're saying or that I'm old. The problem is that your ideas are stupid.
And it keeps on going to an even funnier moment. And James Carville said something very similar, which is that wokeness is dumb. We know it's dumb. We know it's the problem. And so if we're serious about taking back political power at the federal level, we must be very honest with ourselves that if the Democrats are going to embrace this nonsense, it's almost a guarantee that Republicans are going to take back the House of Representatives. Now, Democrats have, I mean, Republicans have always just loved the opportunity to screw up the easy. Just look at the Alabama Senate race with Luther Strange, I think his name was. Bill Maher continues, play cut.
You think someone 80 is hopeless because they can't use an iPhone? Maybe the one who's hopeless is the one who can't stop using it. 20% of Gen Z agree with the statement, society would be better off if all property was owned by the public and managed by the government. And another 29% say they don't know if that's a good idea. Here's who does know. Anyone who wasn't born yesterday.
There's more wisdom in that monologue than out of almost any college professor that I have heard recently. So why is Bill Maher saying this? Well, Bill Maher does have a track record of speaking out against the left. He truly does. Look, Bill Maher's an anti-religious guy. I think he's snarky and unnecessarily kind of mean when it comes to that issue, quite honestly. But he also doesn't want to see the downfall of the West. He doesn't want to participate in that. He's worried. He's worried that the comedians he has on his show, the people he goes to parties with, that they're not just okay with, they are actively participating in the downfall of the West. And so now we have these new maps out. What does this mean for House Republicans? Well, the Cook Political Report, who they're wrong about almost everything, they say that this gives about Republicans, they only need to win about 2 seats back, is basically what this tells us. And that does not account what I believe will be one of the greatest counter-reactions in American political history. I think Republicans, if they do their job and they talk about, we're going to challenge the corporate oligarchy, we're going to make it easier to have children, we're going to fight for free speech, we are going to put our nation first, we're going to be self-sufficient. 70-seat majority. I am not kidding. It can be one of the most widespread, robust, organic, unpredictable political movements in American history, ever. Now, what the Republicans will do with that once they get power, we'll see. But getting Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats out of power is priority number one. And these new seats, it's very interesting. There's a deeper reason behind this than we missed many of the marks when it came to what people thought our census data would be. And that's because the population collapse that we have been predicting in our country actually has come to fruition. So maybe Republicans should say we should solve that. Republicans should talk about what we not just stand for, but how we are going to make your life and the life of your community more fulfilling and bring flourishing potential back to every single person in our great nation. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to support our program, go to charliekirk.com/support. God bless all of you. Thanks so much. Speak to you soon.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.